This week's parsha is Parshas Korach, and the beginning of the parsha, the Torah describes the beginning of the rebellion of Korach and his supporters against Moshe Rabbeinu, and they come in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll start in chapter 16, verse number 3, where there it says, "Vaykahalu al Moshe v'al Aharon," they assembled against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, "Vayomru aleihem," and told Moshe and Aharon, "Rav lochem." It is too much to you, meaning you have too much honor. You took yourself the position of a king, and you gave Aharon the position of a Kohen Gadol, of a high priest. So you're taking all the good jobs for yourself. Why shouldn't you take? Because ki kolo edo kulam kedoshim, because the whole assembly, all of them are holy. Ivesoicham Hashem, and amongst them is Hashem. Umaduat is nasu al kal Hashem. Then why do you exalt yourself over the congregation of Hashem? What right do you have to make yourself a king and a Aharon, a high priest, when everybody is equally holy? Sefer Shemen Rosh asks that he doesn't understand the reasoning of Korach, because if Korach's reasoning is that since everybody is holy, therefore nobody should be exalted, nobody should get a position of leadership, that is not true. We see that Hashem told us to build a Mishkan. Even though the whole Mishkan is holy, still there is only one Mizbeach, one altar, and we only have one Torah. And therefore also Hashem has to choose one high priest, and Hashem chose Aharon. Then what kind of argument is it that since everybody is holy, why should you exalt yourself over the congregation of Hashem? Going back to the verse continues and says that Moshe Rabbeinu heard and fell on his face, and then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach and his assembly that in the morning, Vayoida Hashem es Asheloi, Hashem will make known who is for him, Vesakodosh, and the one that is holy, Veikriv Elov, and he'll bring close to him, Ves Asher Yivchar Boy, and whoever Hashem chooses in him, Yakriv Elov, he will draw close to himself. We have to understand why does Moshe Rabbeinu gives so many analogies, meaning that in the morning Hashem is going to make known who is for him, and the Holy One he'll bring close to him, and whom will choose he'll bring close to him. Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu just say, Boiker, in the morning Hashem is going to show the Holy One? Because the argument of Korach was, that everybody is equally holy. Then the answer would be that in the morning Hashem will show who is the Holy One that he chooses. Then why does the Torah have to say all these analogies that in the morning Hashem will choose who is to him, and the Holy One will bring close to him, and the one that he will choose will bring close to him? The Torah continues that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people assembled with Korach that tomorrow, meaning in the morning, each person should take a fire pan and the fire pan put incense, and it will be Hoish Asher Yivchar Hashem, the person that Hashem will choose, who HaKadosh, he is the Holy One. Sefer Shemen Rosh notes that here Moshe Rabbeinu put together the one that Hashem will choose with the Holy One. Whereas previously, on verse number 5, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ves HaKadosh Vikri Velov, and the Holy One he'll bring close to him, Ves Asher Yivchar Boy, and the one that Hashem will choose in him, Yakri Velov, will bring close to him. In verse number 5, we see clearly that the Holy One is separated from the one that Hashem will choose. It's two separate statements, and here Moshe Rabbeinu puts them both together and says that the one that Hashem will choose, he is the Holy One. What is the change? And also he asks, why specifically did Moshe Rabbeinu give the test of ketores, of incense, to prove who is the one that Hashem chooses? True that in Vayikra, in Parshas Shmini, we have the story of Nadav Avihu, where they brought a strange fire, incense, in front of Hashem, that they were not commanded, and they were killed by Hashem. Therefore, clearly we see that incense, when it's brought improperly, could cause your death, and therefore could be that Moshe Rabbeinu chose the incense as the tool to prove who Hashem will choose. But in regards to Nadav Avihu dying, we have a lot of different reasons of what they did wrong that caused their death. Like, they came drunk, they came missing clothing, they judged Allah in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. A lot of different ideas that caused them to die. Not just the fact that they brought a strange incense in front of Hashem. Then why did Moshe Rabbeinu specifically pick the test of incense as the test to prove that Aharon is the one that should be the high priest? Another question Sefer Shemin Roish asks is, he doesn't understand the Medrash that Rashi brings on verse number 7. On verse number 7, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach and his congregation, Rav Lochem Bnei Levi, it is too much to you, sons of Levi. The Be'er Basoda explains Rashi by saying that Moshe Rabbeinu could have chosen to give a test that everybody should bring an offering, and it will be the offering that Hashem will choose that is the person that is worthy to be the high priest. In the same way that we see that the same test was done by Cain and Hevel in Bereshis chapter 4, verse number 3 to 5, where Cain brought an offering and it was not accepted by Hashem, and Hevel brought an offering and it was accepted by Hashem. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu choose a different test, the test of incense, where that test involves death if you do something wrong, and did not choose the test of the Mizbeach? And the Be'er Basoda explains that this is what Rashi is trying to say, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu specifically chose the test of death in order for them to know that they will be losing something in case that they are not the one chosen, nonetheless, they still went ahead and did it. Therefore, specifically, the Torah says, as a machtoi soele benafshoi som, that take the firepans of these sinners against their souls, because they actually sinned against their souls. They decided that they are going to die anyways, and therefore it's considered a sin against their souls. Then Rashi continues and asks, the Korach shepikachoy, Korach, which was such a smart person, what did he see to come to this foolishness? How did he come to become so foolish to follow through what Moshe Rabbeinu told him, when he knows clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu is a great man? True that you may think that you are also a great man, but you know that Moshe Rabbeinu is a great man, then how can you do this foolishness? So Rashi answers that the eye of Korach caused him to make this error. Why? Because he saw in prophecy the great chain of descendants that will emerge from him. He saw Shmuel Anavi, Samuel the prophet, which is equivalent to Moshe and Aharon, because the Gemara in Tainus 5b brings down from Tehillim chapter 99, verse number 6, where there it says, Moshe ve'Aharon bechoyanov, that Moshe and Aharon is priesthood, u'Shmuel bekoyreshmoy, and Shmuel by those who call his name, which the Gemara says that Shakul Moshe ve'Aharon k'Shmuel, that Moshe and Aharon are equivalent to the prophet Samuel. So we see that Samuel, the great prophet, will come out of him. And Korach says that because of the prophet Samuel, clearly I will survive. And also Rashi brings down that he saw 24 watches standing from his children, and all of them have Ruach HaKodesh, are prophesizing with divine inspiration. Korach said, all this greatness is going to come out of me, and I will do nothing. Therefore, he decided that he is going to become a partner to them, and he is going to get a position of power in order to become a partner to his children. And plus, he heard from Moshe Rabbeinu that everybody is going to die, only one will survive, because Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Vayuisha sheivchar Hashem," the person that Hashem will choose, Hu HaKadosh, he is the Holy One, and he saw that his great chain of generations are going to come out of him. So therefore he made a mistake, and he believed that he is the one that's going to be chosen by Hashem, and he is the one that is going to survive. But Rashi continues, Veloira Yafe, and he did not see well, meaning that he did not see that his children are eventually going to repent, as it's written in chapter 26 of Bamidbar, verse number 11, Uvnei Koirach loy meisu, that the children of Koirach did not die. Rashi says that they also were originally involved in the same rebellion as their father, but in the last minute they repented and a place was fortified in Gehenna, and they were able to come out of it later. Which means that it is possible that Koirach himself will die, but since his children did not die, then the descendants will come out of Korach and his children, even though Korach will not survive this ordeal, because Korach's children did survive this ordeal since they repented. And Rashi brings down, Moshe Ra'a, Moshe did see that the children will survive. It's very interesting that Rashi writes down that Moshe did see, because this actually answers a very strong question that Mefarshim ask in regards to what Moshe Rabbeinu decides what the punishment is going to be. Because in chapter 16, verse number 30, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ve'im b'riyo yivra Hashem, if Hashem is going to make a creation, u'potaso adom espiyo, and the ground will open its mouth, u'volo oisom ve'skola shalohem, and it will swallow them and all that is theirs, ve'yordu chayim sh'oila, and they will descend alive to the pit, meaning that they'll go to the Gehenna alive. Vidatem, then you'll know, ki noatzi anoshim oeles Hashem, that this man hath provoked Hashem. And Mefarshim ask, why is Moshe Rabbeinu asking for such a cruel thing? Moshe Rabbeinu is asking them that they should go alive to Gehenna. Why can't Moshe Rabbeinu just say that they will die and go to Gehenna and go to the pit afterwards? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu insistent that they should go alive into the pit, into the Gehenna? And the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu did it because Moshe Rabbeinu was very kind. Because since you could only repent while you're still alive, once you die you cannot repent. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw also the future descendants of Korach, Shmuel Anovi, and all the 24 watches that will prophesy by divine inspiration. Then Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to make sure that they have a chance to repent. Therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said that they should go alive to the pit, because once they see the pit, they'll be able to repent. And in fact, that's what happened. They repented, and a place was fortified for them on top of Gehenna, and afterwards they were able to come out. But had they died before they went to the pit, they would never be able to repent, because you can't repent after death. So that, in a way, was a kindness of Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu saw that they will repent. But going back to that Rashi, Sefer Shemeroish asks that he doesn't understand what is going on. If Korach was such a great prophet that he could see even the future generations, like we said, Shmuel Anovi, which happens to be 16 generations afterwards, and he saw even the 24 watches that come out of him, which is going to be even later, then obviously Korach had a very strong prophecy. Then how is it possible that Korach did not see that his children are going to repent? Why didn't he see that? Sefer Shemeroish answers these questions based on the Yaris Dvash in Chelik Beis Drosh Yud Dalet, where the Yaris Dvash goes on the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud Amud Aleph 10a. The Gemara there explains that Chizkiyahu HaMelech became ill, and Yeshayahu comes to him and he says, Koyomar Hashem, so did Hashem say, Tzav leveisecha, command your house, meaning give your last will and testament, kimeis ato veloy sichia, because you are going to die and you are not going to live. So the Gemara asks a question, what does it mean that you are going to die and not going to live? Clearly, if you are going to die, you are not going to live. So the Gemara explains that you are going to die in this world, but you're not going to live in the world to come. So the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech became very upset. He was a righteous king. He said, why do I deserve such a harsh punishment that I'm not going to live in the world to come? So Yeshayahu told them, Mishum do lo yosachto bepirya verivya. The reason is because you did not want to have children. So King Chizkiyahu says, you know why I didn't have children? Is because I saw with divine prophecy that I'm not going to have great children, meaning that Menashe, his child is going to come out of him, and Menashe was a very evil person, and because of that he didn't want to have children, he would rather not have bad children, therefore he decided that he's not going to have children. So on that the prophet Yeshaya says, Bahada kafsha derachmana lamalach. Why do you concern yourself if the hidden things of the Merciful One? And he told them that what it is commanded upon you, you should perform, and what is found to be good in front of Hashem, he will do. Then the King Chizkiyahu tells Yeshaya the prophet, give me your daughter as a wife, maybe your merit and my merit will prevail and cause us to have good children. The prophet Yeshayahu says that I'm sorry, it's too late, the decree was already decreed and already came out. On that, the King Chizkiyahu tells the prophet Yeshayahu, please don't give your prophecy anymore, leave. I have a tradition from my father's house that even though the sharp sword is over your neck, meaning you're ready to be killed, still you should not refrain yourself from praying for mercy. And the Gemara says that in fact that's what he did. He prayed for mercy and Hashem gave him extra life and he was healed. The Yaris Dvash notes that Yeshayahu not only told him that you should do whatever it's incumbent to you, meaning you should have children, but he also made the statement, Bahad kafsha derachman lamalach, why are you concerned in regards to the hidden things of the Merciful One? And he asks, why in fact did he say this statement? It could have just said, you are commanded to have children, and therefore you should have children. What's got to do with the hidden secrets of Hashem? Plus the Yaris Dvash argues, if you are able to see the future, and you are able to see that your children are going to be real evil, they are going to cause the desecration of Hashem's name, they're going to bring idolatry amongst the Jewish people, how is it possible that you are required to go through with that Chilul Hashem, the desecration of Hashem's name? Isn't Chizkiyahu right in what he did? Since he saw that his children are going to be definitely evil, then clearly he shouldn't have children. Then what was the argument of Yeshayahu? Therefore the Yaris Dvash says that through in Malachim 2 chapter 21, there we see that Menashe was an evil person. But in Divrei Hayomim 2 chapter 33, we see there that Menashe actually went back to Hashem. So much so that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph 103a says that Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kolo Omer Menashe Ein Lo Chelik Lo Olam Haba, that anybody who says that Menashe doesn't have a portion of the world to come, Merapa Yedeim Shebal Tshuva, causes the hands of a Baal Tshuva, of somebody who wants to repent, to become weakened. Because if somebody is going to see that Menashe repented for so many years and his repentance was not accepted, he will give up and he will not repent, because he'll think that even if you repent for so long, Hashem doesn't accept your repentance. Because the Gemara brings down that Menashe osar tshuva shloisha v'sholosh shonim, and therefore clearly Menashe is going to have a portion of the world to come. And the Gemara continues that Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that what is written in Divrei Hayomim chapter 33 verse number 13, Vayispalel Eilav, that Menashe prayed to Hashem, and it's written Vayechater Loi, that Hashem tunneled for him. But we read it Vayeoter Loi, that Hashem allowed himself to be entreated. So the Gemara explains Melamed, Hashem made for Menashe like a secret tunnel in the heavens, in order that his penitence should be accepted, because of the opposition of the strict justice. Meaning that Hashem himself accepted directly Menashe's prayer and repentance. And since Abavu brings down in Gemara and Brachas, the place where a penitent stands, tzadikim gemurim eino omdim, a completely righteous person cannot stand, and he brings a verse to that effect, that comes out that Menashe, because he was a penitent, true that originally he was a very evil person, but his repentance caused him to go to a higher level of a tzaddik, of a righteous person. Then comes out that Chizkiyahu did not see it properly. Chizkiyahu only saw the evilness of his son Menashe, but he didn't see the fact that he's going to repent, because since Hashem hid away in a tunnel his repentance because of the attribute of justice, and Hashem personally takes this repentance and puts under his throne of glory, as it's written, the Gedoyle Tshuva, repentance is so great, Shemagaz at Kisa Kover, that reaches the Kisa Kover, the throne of glory of Hashem, then Chizkiyahu could not see that. And this is what Yeshayahu, the prophet, was trying to tell Chizkiyahu. What are you getting involved in the secrets of Hashem? Meaning, you don't know for sure if he's going to repent or not. True that you see that he is evil, but in Ruach HaKodesh you could only see what is open to everybody. You cannot see the secrets, the secret tunnels of Hashem. Therefore, Yeshayahu was telling Chizkiyahu, what are you getting involved in the secrets of Hashem? And therefore, in truth, Menashe should have been born, because he was going to repent and he's going to teach that repentance works even when you're that evil. These are the words of the Yaros Dvash. According to this Yaros Dvash, Sefer Shemeroy says that this is what Korach did not know. Korach knew that he's going to have legions of people, Shmuel Nov is going to come out of him, and therefore he thought for sure that he is going to survive. But what he couldn't see is the fact that his children are going to do tshuva. Since tshuva normally is hidden directly by Hashem, Hashem makes a path for the person who does tshuva, and he reaches out all the way to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne of glory of Hashem. That Korach could not see through Ruach HaKodesh with divine inspiration. But since Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy goes above all other prophets, as it's written in the Devarim, chapter 34, verse number 10, "V'loikam navi oit beYisrael kemoishe," that there was no prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, "asher yedo Hashem ponim el ponim," that Hashem knew him face to face. And also what's written in Bamidbar, chapter 12, verse number 8, "Pe'al pe'a dabre boy," I speak to Moshe Rabbeinu mouth to mouth in him, umare, and a clear vision, veloy bechidois, and not with riddles, utmunas Hashem yabit, and the image of Hashem he could gaze. That means Moshe Rabbeinu could gaze even what is going on by Hashem. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu could see that they will repent. Then Sefer Shemeroish brings the Chasam Sofer, which the Chasam Sofer brings a perplexing medrash, which he says is in the Yalkut, where the medrash says, why did Korach decide to fight in regards to the priesthood? The Medrash answers, Parshas Poro Adumo Ra, that he saw the Parsha of the Red Heifer, which is in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, Bamidbar chapter 19. And all the Mefarshim are bothered by this Medrash, because theoretically there seems to be no connections between the fight of Korach and the idea of the Red Heifer. And certain Mefarshim bring down that since Rashi brings down from Rab Moshe Darshan that the idea of the red heifer is that let the mother come and clean up the dirt that the son did, meaning that the red heifer is atonement for the sin of the golden calf. And since we see that in regards to the red heifer, it's written on chapter 19, verse number 3, Nesatem oiso el Elazar HaKohen, you should give the red heifer to Elazar the priest. Elazar is the Sgan Kohen, is the vice Kohen. Aharon HaKohen is the high priest. And yet by the red heifer, they were commanded to give it specifically to Elazar the priest and not to Aharon. Korach assumed that this must be because Aharon transgressed by the sin of the golden calf. And since we have a rule, in kategor nases aneger, that the prosecutor cannot become the defender, therefore Hashem didn't want Aharon to bring the red heifer. He wanted the red heifer to be done by the vice Kohen, by Elazar. Based on that, Korach decided then it must be that Aharon is not qualified to be a high priest, because he, Aharon, has the sin of the golden calf in his hand. Therefore, Korach decided to fight against the priesthood. So, only after he saw that the red heifer is brought down by Elazar, that brought Korach to fight against Aharon. Sefer Shemen Roish adds that clearly Korach understood that Aharon repented on the sin of the golden calf, because if he would have not repented, he wouldn't have stayed alive. Everybody who sinned by the golden calf died. But Korach argued that since none of the Levim did the sin of the golden calf, as Rashi in Kisisa, Shmos, chapter 32, verse number 26, writes down that all the tribe of Levi joined Moshe Rabbeinu, that none of them sinned in regards to the golden calf. The only one who sinned in regards to the golden calf is Aharon. Therefore, Korach believed that everybody else has got more right of the priesthood than Aharon. Because since Korach believed, as the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis 34b, who argues against Rabbi Avu, who believes that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a righteous person, where Rabbi Yochanan believes that a Tzadik Gomur, somebody who has never sinned, is in a greater level than somebody who repents. Therefore, Korach believed that there is no reason to give the priesthood to Aharon, since Aharon is the only sinner in the group. Everybody else of the Bnei Levi did not sin. The only one who sinned is Aharon. Therefore, Korach says, Ki kolom kulom kadoshim, everybody here in our tribe is holy. V'toicham Hashem, and inside all of them is Hashem, because they didn't sin in the golden calf, then why do you give the position of high priest to Aharon? He is the only one who sinned. And Korach believed that somebody who did not sin is in a higher level than somebody who sinned and repented. But in regards to Aharon, it's written in Vayikra chapter 9, verse number 7, where there it says, Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Moshe tells Aharon, Krav el HaMizbeach, get near to Mizbeach. Rashi brings down, Shoyo Aharon Bush, that Aharon was ashamed, Vayore lo geshes, and he was afraid to get close to the Mizbeach. Amar Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon, Lamo ato Bush, why are you ashamed? Lekach nifcharto, because of that you were chosen. The Targum Yonis ben Ozil, the Baal Turim, say that Aharon saw the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach seems to him to resemble the Karnei Ashor, the horns of the axe. Then Aharon remembered the sin of the golden calf, and Aharon was ashamed to get close to Mizbeach to bring the offerings on the Mizbeach. Then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon that this is the exact reason why you were chosen, because you are ashamed of the sin of the golden calf, therefore you are a Baal Tshuva. And Moshe Rabbeinu held like a Bavu, that Makom Shebaal Tshuva Oimdim, the place where Baal Tshuva goes, then Tzadikim Gemurim Eino Yecholi Lamoid, that completely righteous people can't achieve, meaning that a Baal Tshuva, somebody who is repented, is greater than a Tzadik. Therefore, specifically Hashem chose Aharon to be the Kohen Gadol, because the whole tribe of Levi did not sin and they didn't have what to repent for. But since Aharon sinned, and Aharon did such a repentance that his repentance was completely mahava, then via his repentance he achieved a greater level than a righteous person, and because of that he was chosen. Then Sefer Shemen Roish says that a tzaddik gomur, a completely righteous person who has never sinned, also gets a name of kodesh, gets a name of holy person, because he is completely holy by his actions since he never sinned. But somebody who sinned, even though he repented, you can't call him anymore holy, because he's not holy anymore since he contaminated his soul for the sin. But nonetheless, he is called Bechir Hashem, the chosen of Hashem, because since he repented, Hashem chose on him, and Hashem stretches his hand and accepts his repentance. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was rebuffing Korach's argument. The argument of Korach says, Ki kolom kulom kadoshim, that everybody is holy. And as we mentioned, this means to say that the whole tribe of Levite is holy, that nobody transgressed by the sin of the golden calf, and the only one who transgressed the sin of the golden calf is Aharon, and therefore Aharon doesn't deserve to have the position of high priest. On that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Boiker ve'yoyda Hashem es ha'shelo, in the morning Hashem will make shown who is for him. And Vesakodosh and the one who is holy, Veikrivelov, he will bring to him. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to tell Korach that this that you claim that everybody is holy because nobody has sinned and Aharon has sinned, that is not necessarily so. Because since we have the Rashi on Parshas Kisiso, chapter 32, verse number 5, where there Rashi is trying to explain how is it possible that Aharon HaKohen would do the golden calf for the Jewish people, and Rashi says that Aharon says, Mutaf Shiyitle Asirchon Bi Veloy Bohem, that Aharon had intentions for Hashem, and Aharon realized that the Jewish people won't be dissuaded from doing the golden calf, and he said that better let the blame of the golden calf come on me and not come on the Jewish people. That means that Aharon did not sin by the sin of the golden calf. He did not actually commit idolatry because he didn't do it because he wanted to worship it. He did it only in order that the Jewish people shouldn't be blamed for this. Then comes out that Aharon is still Kadosh. Then Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that come morning and Hashem is going to make known who is for him. Either Vesa Kadosh Vikrivelov, either because Aharon is a holy person and therefore he is going to be brought to him, or Vesa Sheivchar Boy Yakrivelov, or could be that Aharon in fact sinned in the golden calf, but since, as we mentioned, Aharon did tshuva, then it's considered Bechir Hashem, the chosen of Hashem, therefore the one who has chosen, he is going to bring close to him. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says that V'hoya o'ish asher yivchar Hashem hu ha-kodosh. And you should know that the person who Hashem will choose, that the Baal Tshuva who repented and was taken directly by Hashem, he is the Holy One. He achieves a high level because Moshe Rabbeinu said that we passed him like Rabavu, we followed the Aloha like Rabavu, that a place where a Baal Tshuva stands, a tzaddik cannot stand, then he is in a level higher than a tzaddik. Specifically, if he does the tshuva mahava, the tshuva out of love, then his sins turns out to be merits, then retroactively he didn't sin, so therefore he is in a higher level than a tzaddik, and therefore he becomes a kadosh. The one that is about tshuva, a true about tshuva, is in a higher level than a kadosh, than somebody who is holy. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu gives the redundancy of the language, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says that the person who Hashem will choose, he is truly the Kadosh, the holy person. Then Sefer Shemerosh explains why specifically Moshe Rabbeinu chose the test of the incense to punish Korach and the people around Korach. And he explains, based on the Torah's Moshe on Shmini, chapter 10, verse number 4. There, after Nadav Avihu, the two sons of Aharon died because they brought a strange fire in front of Hashem that they were not commanded. Moshe tells Aharon, "Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what Hashem said, Bikroivai ekodesh, normally translated by those who are near me, I will be sanctified, ve'al pnei kol ha'om ekovet, and in front of the whole nation, I will be honored." Meaning that this verse is referring to Hashem being honored and Hashem being sanctified. And then it's written, Vayidom Aharon, that Aharon became silent. The Torah's Moshe explains that as soon as the two children of Aharon, Nadav Avihu, died, Aharon thought that the reason that they died is because of the sin of the golden calf. Meaning that Aharon is responsible for the death of his children. As a matter of fact, Rashi in Parshas Ekev, Dvorim chapter 9, verse number 20, brings this idea that the two children of Aharon died because of the sin of the golden calf. Therefore, Aharon was upset that his children died because of his sin. Because even though Aharon knew that Oire Halacha Lifnei Raboi, that the two children of Aharon did the wrong thing, that they passed a halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, in front of their Rebbe, and that is a slight to the honor of Moshe Rabbeinu, but nonetheless, Aharon HaKohen thought that this is not enough reason that they should die, because since they are relatives of Moshe Rabbeinu, and normally a relative doesn't take such slight when a relative does something wrong to him. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalet Omed Beis, 14b notes that even though the prophet Yirmiyahu was there, nonetheless, it's written in Malachim 2, chapter 22, verse number 14, Vayelech Chilkiyahu HaKohen V'Achikam V'Achbor V'Shofon V'Shoyo El Chuldon Aviyah, that Chilkiyahu HaKohen Achikam, Achbor and Sofon and Asoyo went to consult Huldah, the prophetess. And the Gemara asks, how is it possible that they went to the prophetess Huldah when Yirmiyahu, the prophet, is still there? The Gemara answers, Huldah kroivus Yirmiyahu, haiso, velo yahave makpid aleo, that Huldah was a relative of Yirmiyahu, and therefore Yirmiyahu did not object to her prophesizing, meaning it was not a slight to the honor of Yirmiyahu, the fact that his relative is prophesizing. Then Aharon thought that since Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person on earth, clearly Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to object for somebody making a halacha in front of him. Therefore Aharon thought that for sure they didn't die because they did a slight against Moshe Rabbeinu, they must have died because of the sin of the golden calf. But Moshe Rabbeinu told Aharon, no, Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what Hashem told me, Bikroivai ekadosh, through my relatives I will become sanctified. You're right, normally I would give up my honor, but Hashem does not want me to give up my honor in this case. Hashem wants to make a statement that Moshe Rabbeinu is to be respected. And if people will see that even when Moshe Rabbeinu's relatives themselves do a slight against Moshe Rabbeinu's honor, they die, automatically, I will be honored in front of the whole nation. Meaning, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Aharon that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that through the death of their relatives, not of Aviyu, through their sanctification, that will cause that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be honored in front of the whole nation. Not that Hashem is going to be honored in front of the whole nation. Hashem wanted that people should take Moshe Rabbeinu seriously, that even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person on earth, nonetheless, people should know that if you do a slight against Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem will take up his honor and Hashem will kill them. Automatically, people will get to honor Moshe Rabbeinu more. And once Aharon heard what Moshe Rabbeinu said, that the reason that they died is because they did the halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu and not because of the golden calf, therefore, says the Torah's Moshe, he said, Vaidom Aharon, Aharon became silent, because Aharon was relieved that it wasn't his fault that his children died. True, that his children died is a great pain, but he thought that he was the one that caused his children to die. But once he found out that they died because they did a slight against Moshe Rabbeinu's honor, Aharon became silent. According to this, Sefer Shemeroy says that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that Korach is a very sneaky guy. Korach knows that Moshe Rabbeinu is the most humble person on earth, and Korach believes that he could start up if Moshe Rabbeinu without any consequences, because since Korach is a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore he says, it's written in the beginning of the parsha, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kehaz ben Levi, that Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kehaz, the son of Levi, took, and he says that this is what Korach wanted to be known, that he is a relative of Levi, is a relative of Kehaz, therefore automatically he is a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Korach thought that since he is a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu, then he could go against Moshe Rabbeinu, speak bad against Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu won't object so much since he is a relative of Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, specifically, in order for him to know that he is walking on dangerous ground, Moshe Rabbeinu gave the test of the incense, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to hint to Korach, look what happened last time when Nadav Avihu brought the incense. Even though they didn't speak bad against me, they didn't insult me publicly, they only brought a strange fire which they were not commanded, which automatically ended up being that they made a ruling in front of me, and because of that, Hashem killed them, because Hashem doesn't want people to degrade Moshe Rabbeinu, even the relatives of Moshe Rabbeinu, the nephews of Moshe Rabbeinu, because they did a minor insult, Hashem killed them. then for sure your group, which are challenging my leadership and speaking bad against me, for sure they are going to be killed. And therefore, because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to know that Hashem is not going to look lightly on the slight against him, Moshe, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu specifically gave the test of the Ketores, hoping that they will take a look at the Ketores and they'll remember what happened last time when somebody brought Ketores, that even though they were the nephews of Moshe Rabbeinu, nonetheless, because they slighted Moshe Rabbeinu's honor, therefore they died. And Moshe Rabbeinu was hoping that this will cause them to change and they'll go back from their plot. But unfortunately, it did not work for the reasons that Rashi explains, that Korach saw the chain that's coming out of him, so therefore he was sure that he's going to survive, and the other people who put the fire pan, they ended up being guilty on their own sins because they were warned, and yet they still went ahead and did it. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should learn from Parshas Korach and learn to live with harmony and not fight against each other. Like that, we'll have more Achdus, more unity. And if we do that, then we are assured that the Moshiach is going to come, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. B'imheiro b'yomeinu, Amen.